Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, July the 17th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Our top story today is about a Kent dad who's been told he has just months to live after skin cancer spread to his brain. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, this is incredibly sad.
It really is. Sam Street had been treated for a melanoma, which was discovered on his back 5 years ago. It was removed and he was given the all clear, but he got another one about a year and a half ago and the cancer had spread to his lymph nodes. He also had further surgery 2 months ago to remove a melanoma from his chest.
And what happened earlier this month?
Sam and his family were moving from Minster on Sheppey to Newington near Sittingbourne, where the 42-year-old grew up, when he suddenly collapsed. He was taken to Maidstone Hospital and a scan revealed the cancer had spread to his brain and was terminal.
Now everyone's rallying round to help, is that right?
Yes, Sam's sister-in-law has set up a fundraiser to help the family with medical expenses and household costs. They also want to make special memories. Sam's also told his partner Debbie that he wants to get married. The couple have been together for 13 years and have 4 children between them. Sam has also said he'd like to go on family holiday together, which will most likely be to Cornwall. You can find a link to the fundraiser within the story today at Kent Online.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
An investigation's underway after 3 people were attacked by a man in Westmorling. One man was found with cuts and bruises to his head, back and hands, while another man and a woman suffered eye irritation caused by a noxious substance. It happened at an event on London Road in Addington last Sunday. Teenagers from the age of 15 could be offered a meningitis B booster jab on the NHS. Health advisers are recommending the move after 2 teenagers died following an outbreak in Kent earlier this year. Meantime, a one-off vaccine programme for year 13s and those starting uni is taking place this summer. A woman's been arrested and charged over social media comments about the death of former Maidstone MP Anne Widdecombe. She was reported to police over a post made on Thursday. The politician's body was discovered with serious injuries at her home in Devon last week. Now, plans to overhaul how councils are set up and run in Kent have taken a big step forward. It's now been confirmed that when the current 14 local authorities, including KCC and Medway Council, are scrapped, they'll be replaced with 4 unitary ones. They'll be known as North, East, West and Mid. With more on the finer detail, here's Simon Finlay from the Local Democracy Reporting Service.
Well, the option that they've gone for is option 4B. There were 5 that were submitted to the government earlier this year after a lot of sort of to-ing and fro-ing. And 4B is the one that the government appears to have chosen. Now, this would basically sort of turn Kent into a 14, from a 14 council county to a 4 council county. These would be large unitary authorities and they would have the powers that the 2 tiers had before. And essentially, in the north, there would be Dartford, Gravesham and Medway. In the west, there would be Tunbridge and Moulding, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells. And in the sort of middle and south, there would be Swale, Ashford and Folkestone and Hythe. And in the east, there would be Canterbury, Thanet and Dover. Now, this is probably the cleanest and easiest break. Most people were betting that option 4D would be chosen, one that was being promoted by Vince Maple and Medway Council. But unfortunately, they probably thought that was too complicated because it involved quite a few boundary changes. It made some sense in some regards, but this is a much cleaner one. I think it would be the one that has the most consensus among the council leaders when the options were being submitted earlier this year.
And looking at populations for each area is pretty even, isn't it? About 500,000 people fall into each of those council areas.
The choices that were being made or the government guidelines were basically you got to sort of take in the population, its likely growth and the size of it. So each of these will have, from rough calculations, enough room to grow and not become too big before they become obsolete.
Now, we know the boundaries and where these council areas are going to sit, but we don't know much more today, do we? Effectively, we know the geographical layout of it, but not much of the nitty-gritty detail.
No, I mean, key services like bin collections, tips, libraries, highways and social care will remain the same pretty much throughout and even in that transition period before the new authorities are actually formed. People won't see any great difference. When the new authorities are formed, hopefully all those transitionary changes will have been, all the problems will have been ironed out. What will happen in the short term, but we don't know when, is that there are likely to be elections next May for the shadow authority. So effectively, that's the one they'll be elected for what will become the new authorities the following year. So there'll be a sort of a transition period.
Now, leaders at Medway Council had been in favour of a slightly more radical approach, which changed boundaries further. I've been asking current leader Vince Maple for his reaction to the decision.
In one sense, when the government started this conversation, it was very clear to me that for a region like ours of just around 2 million people, we would need four councils. So in that sense, I'm pleased with the decision. From that perspective, clearly I'm very disappointed that government haven't taken the opportunity to take the bold approach that we've suggested. We've said over the last few months that places like Walderslade and Faversham, because of previous local government reorganisations, perhaps are not where they should be. And government could have made those changes today. We think for all of those reasons and more, it's disappointing that government have taken the decision they have. But ultimately, now it's about looking forward, making sure that we're getting our organisations ready for the new councils, which will come into effect in April 2028.
Yeah, because you were more in favour of 4D, weren't you, which was a bit more radical and actually moving boundaries more significantly. Do you think that perhaps the logistics of doing that was just too much for the government to want to go ahead with it?
Well, look, we're going to ask the Secretary of State and the MHCLG, which is the government department that looks after local government, for some more information as to how their decision-making was made. I say, by the nature of advocating for an option, that was always going to be my preferred choice. So it is disappointing that's not the particular one chosen. And I think government have missed an opportunity to right some wrongs. But look, we are where we are now. And residents across Kent and Medway would now want all 14 council leaders and councils to get on with the job of firstly delivering the day-to-day services that they expect, but also ensuring that when we get to the 1st of April 2028, those new councils are ready to roll.
Yeah, so Medway is going to be joining forces with Gravesham and Dartford. What does happen now? Because us as constituents within those council areas, we're not going to, hopefully not going to notice too much, but behind the scenes, I should think an awful lot of work has got to happen now, hasn't it?
Well, an awful lot of work has already been happening to the run-up to today. And of course, more of that hard work will continue. We'll, of course, be having very direct conversations with our colleagues, in our case, in Dartford, Gravesham and KCC, because, of course, they will have elements of their services which will be going into the new North Kent Unitary Authority. And it'll be the same across the region of Kent and Medway, that ultimately those four sets of conversations will happen and happen quickly. But I think residents across the region should rest assured that all councils, of course, will be looking at local government reorganisation, but not at the detriment of day-to-day services. And certainly here in Medway, I've been explicitly clear on that. Business as usual continues. We've got an exciting programme of activity and events happening, for example, for those who enjoy our bits and pieces in the community, as well as those important statutory services like social care and education.
As was mentioned in those interviews, elections are due to be held next year and the councils will start running in 2028.
Kent Online reports.
Changing rooms and showers at a Kent leisure centre have been branded filthy and disgusting less than 2 years after an £8 million refurb. Visitors to Kingsmead Pools and Fitness Centre in Canterbury have shared photos online showing dirt, stained grout and grime around cubicles. You can see the images by heading to the website today. Well, bosses say a more vigorous and focused cleaning programme is now in place. Plans have been unveiled to build around 100 homes and apartments on part of Saga's headquarters in Kent. The travel and insurance company has been asking nearby residents what they think of the ideas for Embroke Park, which is in Sandgate near Folkestone. It's been put forward following a change in working patterns, which means there are fewer staff on site every day. Meantime, an empty parade of shops in Ashford is going to be turned into a four-storey hotel. Councillors have approved plans for new rents between Castle Street and Drum Lane. Six shops will be demolished to make way for the 92-bed facility along with 10 flats. Next on today's episode, and plans to turn an area of ancient woodland near Maidstone into a quarry have taken a step forward. Bosses at Kent County Council want to use land at Oak and Wood Embalming to meet the growing demand for building materials. More than 26,000 people have objected, though, and a protest was held outside County Hall yesterday. Rachel Rodwell is from Friends of Oak and Wood.
It's the biggest existential threat to woodland in the UK. The loss of canopy, the loss of ancient soil is going to be devastating for the area.
Maidstone Borough Council leader Stuart Jeffrey is also fighting the proposals.
It goes against everything we know about the biodiversity emergency and the current mass extinction event. It is fundamentally wrong when there are other sites across Kent that could be quarried for this stone. There is no need to destroy ancient woodland to do so.
As we heard, it's claimed the quarry is needed to help keep up with demand for building materials. Well, Sean Connor is from Gallagher Aggregates.
Without the continuation of Hermitage Quarry, Kent will rely on, for the future, wholly imported aggregate from abroad, from over 1,000 kilometres away, to bring its crushed rock into Kent. Which we think is a really bad thing, because you're not going to get the social value, the employment, the supply chain supporting this operation here. So effectively, your carbon footprint will go up in terms of importing. So importing is 3 to 4 times more carbon emissions than supplying locally.
Kent Online reports.
A water company has apologised after residents in a West Kent village reported a water leak which hadn't been fixed for 5 weeks. With more detail, here's 81-year-old Joe Senior, who lives in St Mary's Platt.
We've had a leaking water pipe in the village for about 5 weeks. We had a lot of leaking pipes around here over the time that we've lived here. But this one has gone on far too long, and the real insult was that in the middle of it, the Kent Water people decided to put a no hose pipe ban on, which has frustrated us all, especially us older ones who can't really manage watering cans and didn't know that we could ring the water board and get permission to use a hose pipe. So it's been very frustrating, very irritating. It's a horrible mess all across the road. It keeps people awake at night. And we're worried that some of the people who bicycle very fast down here will come off their bikes because there's algae growing over the road.
All this also comes after we told you on a previous episode that figures had revealed South East Water was losing 100 million litres of water a day through leaks. Well, bosses say contractors have been told about the issue in St Mary's Platt and it'll be fixed as soon as possible. Plans to expand a Kent grammar school have been given the go-ahead as pupil numbers continue to surge. New housing around Maidstone is one of the reasons for increased demand for places at Oakwood Park. £7 million is going to be spent on building three new classrooms and a sports hall, increasing the entry level from 160 to 190 from September next year. And you've heard of puppy love. Well, now two dogs in Kent are set to get married. Yep, you heard me right. Bella the Cockapoo is due to tie the knot with miniature poodle Jasper during a ceremony next weekend. Their owner, Maria Wyatt, is planning the occasion at the retirement home where she lives in Wateringbury. It's also going to be used to raise money for charity.
Kent Online Sports.
We're going to start off with football, and there's another pre-season game for Gillingham this weekend. They welcome Championship side Charlton Athletic to Priestfield tomorrow. It follows Tuesday night's 3-0 win at Dover Athletic, which saw the Gills field different sides in each half. Boss Gareth Ainsworth spoke to our sports reporter Luke Cordell after that game, which also saw two players limp off the pitch.
Injuries cost us last year a lot. It really did, and I've got to make sure that we're a robust group. We're trying to do that, and we're trying to push the boys and in a 45-minute game, you don't expect to lose players. But it's part and parcel of football. Bradley Dack and Armani Little are two absolute competitors that I will have all day. So I know they'll be back. They're definitely frustrated that they didn't finish the game properly. But they'll be back. They're good characters, and they're really up for this season. And they've seen what I'm trying to do with the signings. And both of them, I'm sure, will play a huge part this year.
And just a word on those two games coming up, Charlton, Millwall,
yep,
in the next few days. Brilliant fixtures to look forward
Brilliant
to.
Brilliant fixtures, really tough games. Listen, you know, I don't want anyone saying, oh, you know, we've been beat off two Championship sides, our season's over. We definitely will be up against it in both games. I think both teams have been away on trips and they've got their teams together. They've got a huge amount of resources and a huge amount of money to spend, and I think you'll see some quality players against us. There's no reason we can't match them and can't come out of our shells and play above what, you know, what we think we can be capable of. But yeah, it will be tough without a shadow of a doubt. You know, last season Luton and Reading, I think, coming to town were quite tough games for us. But we started the season well. That's all I care about, is that first game against Walsall. The Luton game obviously is a free hit at opposition above us, and they're very strong in the cup, but my focus is winning that game against Walsall, and that's all I care about.
On to rugby now, and Kent Bernal has kept his place in the starting 15 for England's Nations Championship clash with Argentina on Saturday. Coach Steve Borthwick has named an unchanged team, which means no place on the back row for Henry Pollock, despite scoring a hat-trick against Fiji on Saturday. And thousands of people are expected to take part in the Medway Mile tonight. The annual run, jog or walk is going to start and finish at Medway Park in Gillingham. Events will also be happening within the centre to kickstart the Love Gillingham weekend. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.